WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Do you like good music?
Yeah, yeah. All right, Bill Ford, Joe Studio.
Conley, right?
Hour number two. Joe and the musicians here, all in the fans, CBS Sports Network.
Alan and I are breaking it down over there.
Put a camera and a microphone in front of you two. You guys talk for hours.
Yeah.
I always thought I knew music until I met you two. I mean, you guys not like, really knocked it out of the
You
park.
Know, I used to, this is true, and I is no doubt. When I was growing up, my father passed away in 1967. We moved in with my grandparents, and she had a night. My grandmother had a big basement. And we had the stereo hooked up so I could get down to the basement. Mm. And what I would do, my cousin and I, we would line up like fake microphones, right? And we would like you
name, sing the night away.
Oh my God, the Beatles, the Stones, the Beach Boys. Like we would be whoever we were, you know, Jim Morrison, the Doors, whatever it was. And we would do this for like hours. You know, when
doesn't
I was like a teenager.
Me. Yeah,
you know,
does not surprise. I remember you from back in the good old Astoria days, just waltzing through the newsroom and singing songs. I remember.
Yeah,
remember those nights they would turn us off for transmitter maintenance.
Oh, those were the best. Ray would bring in the movies.
Is that what they're called?
I'll tell you what it was. He would bring in, because, you know, you could do this back then, especially overnight. Remember the Girls Gone Wild movies? Oh, my God.
I do. I do. There were some interesting things that went. It was the three of us.
Yeah.
That was it. It was me, Joe, until about 3:35.
And you had to be there, like, Joe, and I was like, no, but Mark, I'm not going to get on the air till like 4:00. No, you know, you got to be there just in case.
And we were there.
Of course.
We remember we were putting down the hallway.
Oh, God.
We did a lot of that,
those
too.
Those were the days. The overnight days, the overnight days were probably the best days for me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I did it for 9 years. It was a different world. You know, I used to go to every game, and it was.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, my God. I mean, I.
Got 2 years with you. I went to most of them with
you. Right,
I'm well aware.
Yeah.
Remember sitting there for Nets Pacers, that play, the overtime playoff
game? Oh, were you with me for that game?
Yes.
You know the story. That's one of the great games of all time.
I know it was.
Reggie Miller, a game the Nets had to win, by the way.
Yes, because otherwise that great season would have gone for
naught. Right down. Do you remember that was the night of the Imus radio time? Do you remember that? And we really couldn't even break the game down?
I do. Now that you mention it, I do. Because I almost got fired that morning.
Oh, really? Why?
Yes. Because...
Like to bring this up here?
Because... Well, no, it's okay. Because we were doing the radiothon. We couldn't talk about the Nets at all. It was what it was. It's fine. It was scheduled.
Right.
And in the middle of the night, Chris Botta, who was the... I knew him from going to games with
Chris
you.
Chris Botta. Yep.
Knew very much who he was. Calls in and says we would like to get involved, and they donated 4 tickets and whatever else it was, and I thought it was the greatest, nicest thing in the world, and so I gave it to you. We then sold it, I believe, and we had very strict instructions, which I forgot at the moment, to not take on anything else because it was capped out by everything was already, you know, there's legalities like that, and then we
got in trouble for that.
Oof.
I don't even remember.
I was almost given my walking papers by Mark.
Really?
Yes. And I was very close to being fired.
Did you even know about that, though? Did you even realize that was the case?
No, but I'm sure it was. I guarantee you, knowing how thorough Mark was, and I'm pretty sure I went back and looked, I'm sure it was in one of the memos, one of those long memos about what we could not do. And I thought we were doing a great thing, and boy, oh boy, was I wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that game is one of the great games ever.
I remember that.
Reggie Miller doing to them what he had done to the Knicks over the years. And then Jason Kidd went crazy in the overtime.
Yeah.
And they pulled that game out. They wound up going to the finals.
Yeah. And then you had the following year or 2 years after? I forget what it was. Maybe two. Because they went to the finals back-to-back years.
Yep.
So then the third year was the year they won that ridiculous game in Detroit.
And then lost the series, though.
Right. But if you remember, they go back to New Jersey, and they got out to that 20-point lead in the first quarter.
I was at that game, too. Were you with me for that game?
Of course I was.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that was also, I think, the NBA Finals game between the Game 3 Nets-Lakers. I could be wrong about this, but I think it was Game 3 Nets-Lakers. I wasn't. I was back at the station to work that night.
I was at the two games.
Whoever was on that Sunday night put Ann Liguori on. She was live at the arena with special guest, lifetime Nets fan, Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis. Was he a Nets fan?
No, but he was there and he claimed to be. There's no way he was a lifetime
Nets
fan.
That's actually a pretty good
that was
get.
A great get.
To get Bruce Willis.
I know it was a great get. There's no question about it. But he's coming on like he's
and
his
knows
Net
everybody.
Fan from back
Let me,
in the
I gotta
day.
Say
I know she does.
Everybody.
I'm well aware.
Yep.
And so she was put in the Hall of Fame with Gio a couple months ago.
Oh, is that right?
I forget. The Long Island Hall of Fame. Is that right, guys?
Gio's in the Long Island Hall of Fame?
Long Island Sports Hall of Fame, I believe.
Wow.
I think so.
That's at the airport with
right.
Schwartz in?
With Schwartz.
That's exactly right.
Schwartz should be in, right?
No, he's the announcer for
that. Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Real quick before we do the football, just because they've been holding for a while, I just want to get a couple of these calls in.
Yeah.
Pat and Suffern, what's up, Pat?
Hi,
how
Pat.
Are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Yo.
Hey, what's up,
Pat?
Just a couple things. Real quick. There was something coming up with the Olympics with the swimmers, so more cheating and stuff like that. But and also, you should mention Jim Morrison. Believe it or not, you know, he's buried in Paris. That's kind of a
yes,
crazy
he
little
he died
coincidence.
There, yeah. I think it was like 4th of July, too, 1971.
Real quick, just if I could just hit two other things real quick.
Yeah.
It seems like the Yankees definitely did more of an impact at the deadline. I mean, they really seem to have changed their team, you know. And thank God the Mets beat them already, you know. But they really, it just seems like they've really changed their team, you know, with Leiter and with the
Jazz, too.
You know, Jazz. I don't want to say his name.
I think the Leiter pickup might turn out to be one of the bigger ones. Early returns, pretty
good.
Yeah,
I really like that one, too, just because of Al's history with both teams. And I really like that. Yeah. And, you know, it, by the way, one a little more little Olympic controversy. You heard Serena Williams, she got, like, they wouldn't let her in the restaurant. And
yes.
I'm going to tell you what.
What's his thing? I didn't hear this. Yeah, tell me the story. Go ahead.
Listen, though, real quick. Well, she went into some restaurant, and we just wanted
in
these
Paris.
Things where...
In Paris.
Yeah, and, oh, yeah, you know, and there were all these empty tables, and, oh, you know what? Oh, my God. You know, come on. First of all, Paris. And, you know, they love kicking Americans in the butt anytime they can. And
we saved their rear ends in World War II, but
that is true. I did. So I saw the headline. I saw the headline that she went into a restaurant and they said that they were booked, even though there were open tables there. I don't know the details of it because I was running through all.
And
the
what did
other
she do?
Stuff.
I'm Serena Williams. How dare you?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
There's a couple of different things that could be true, and I don't know which one is. It could be that they didn't want her there. It could be because she was an American, they didn't want her there.
Okay.
It could be racial. It could be that they were booked and that there wasn't time for when the people were coming in for their reservations. I don't know. I have no idea. But it could be anything of the... Could have been very racially motivated. It could have been American motivated. It could have been honest that they were booked. I don't know the answer. To speculate, I think, is kind of nuts. One more real quick. Mike in Issaquahtia. What's up, Mike?
Mike, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Joe, I just want to say, when I got out of high school many years ago, listening to you and Evan would get me through the years driving a truck with my father as he was screaming at me. And then
thank you.
When
thank
I
you,
became
bro.
A cop, listening to you on the way in was great. But
you're a cop now, Mike?
Gary, I love you.
Are you a cop now?
Nice. Yeah.
And we thank you for your service because the cops don't get the, congratulations or the praise they deserve. So I want to say that.
No, I appreciate that, guys. Thank you. But guys, I can't agree anymore with Pete Alonso. My buddy sent me stats yesterday. I'm not a big stats guy, but these numbers are bad. He's hitting below 200 with runners in scoring position, slugging 350. I mean, his OPS is below 700. The fact that he makes comments so tone deaf speaks to the reason why he's never really been embraced by his teammates as a true leader. And I think if you look at this team, I think it's going to alienate him even more. Because don't tell me if you're not in that clubhouse, you don't hear those comments and think, what is this guy kidding me?
You know,
how the hell does he think he's having a great season?
Mike, one thing is his OPS is actually close to 800.
No, I think he meant with runners in scoring position.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, Mike. I cut you off.
That's cool.
We appreciate all the nice words.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We appreciate what
and
you
appreciate
do,
your service with the police.
I agree with him, but there's one thing that can change that. Produce.
That's it.
Yep. Produce, and then all of a sudden, you will be what they call a leader by example, and that's all they need him to do and be. So, a very interesting couple of months for Pete Alonso coming up and for this team.
Yep.
While we have a minute with the football, because Peter referenced it, I know it's a big story this morning, too. You've got all these teams doing their joint practices. You saw yesterday with the Giants and the Lions, they got together over near MetLife Stadium by the Giants facility, And there was brawl after brawl after brawl. You had, now I know they're not tackling. I get that. I saw enough of the video. It's kind of shoulder yourself into somebody. But here's what I also see. I see a lot of plays get out of hand. I see hitting when there's not supposed to be hitting. I see a lot of physicality when I don't necessarily know there's supposed to be. All this conversation about not playing in preseason games because we're afraid that guys are going to get hurt.
Interesting.
Yet they are killing each other
in
these practices.
In these scrimmages, yeah.
And Joe, maybe even more so because it's the first time in weeks they're seeing a different team. Yeah, they're wearing the goofy helmets. I get that. And yes, I understand the quarterbacks aren't being touched. Take that out of the equation. What if Dexter Lawrence blows out his ACL?
Yeah, sure. Daniel Jones jumped into the melee here. I mean,
Brian Burns apparently was all over the field acting like, and I mean this in a good way as a football player, acting like a lunatic because he was all over the football. Very physical. Yet we don't play in preseason games. Then why do we do this?
Yeah, that's a great point. That's really a great point.
I don't understand.
Yeah, no,
it's either one or the other.
Right.
You want to have these shell practices and you want to keep your body right and you don't want to have contact until you actually get to week one of the NFL season. And it already feels to me that we treat weeks 1 through 3 or 4 in the regular season like it's the preseason.
Right.
Because the play is sloppy.
It's like college football when, you know, Rutgers is playing Wagner.
But you keep going back to. How about Alabama playing Stetson State?
I understand that. You know what bothers me about that, though? If you notice, the SEC always plays these games. No, really.
Yes.
They always play the game like the next to last weekend of the year. Like Alabama's playing, like you said, Stetson State before they play Auburn. I mean, you know what I mean? Which is at least Rutgers is doing it early. You know what I mean? Getting it out of the way.
I would look. I'm pretty sure some of them have some early bye games as well.
No, but I'm sure they do.
I know what you're saying.
But the SEC does do that. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And they win a game by 70 points if they're good about themselves.
Right.
But it just
I love to get on Rutgers football.
I'm aware. I see that.
You know what I mean?
Very hypocritical, though, by the NFL, the thinking.
Yes.
Of trying to protect their guys when you're still doing things like this. So I don't know what the right answer is other than go out there. Even you said it. It's the NFL. You can get hurt on any play.
Of course.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Of course.
So, let me ask you this. Aaron Rodgers goes out there, and let's say he looks lousy week one.
Okay.
He's had no reps in the preseason.
Okay.
Do you not blame that on lack of reps?
I probably do, but I would rather have that. I'd rather have him go out week one and stink it up, but be healthy for the entire year, right? I mean, as far as that goes.
Okay, how much did he play in the preseason last year?
He played like a series, I think.
And
right?
What happened week one?
No, I understand.
Like, that to me is the, it's just, I don't know, it's not so black and white in terms of what you should do and what you shouldn't do. I think they should get out there. They should, like Patrick Mahomes said, feel the crowd, feel the energy, a couple of series, nothing crazy, and get out. You hope you don't get hurt. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
And injuries in football are inevitable, and that's why you heard me say earlier, this new kickoff rule stop. I mean, it's all for show. It's all show. That's all it is.
I suppose it's for show. I don't know. All I know is it is something that I don't know that there's ever going to be an answer to.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are going to get hurt no matter what they do, when they do it.
Absolutely.
Edwin Diaz tore was whatever the hell it was.
Oh, God.
Not even in a game-related situation. The game was over. You saw what happened.
World Baseball Classic.
Who was it? Bobby Ojeda slices his finger.
Edging. I remember that. Sure.
It's almost like, I remember with Sal, because he was nuts on the Diaz injury, blaming the World Baseball Classic. And whether you like it or not, that's fine, but you can't just keep these guys wrapped in bubble.
No.
You know, it's a
Bobby Ojeda was also involved in that tragedy with those two Indian pitchers, too. Remember that? That boat situation where they were killed?
I do.
Yeah. That was terrible.
But it's as if, I think Peter said it right. If you're so worried about everything, then just sit in front of your TV and play video games, and when it's time to come out,
wrap yourself in bubble wrap, and there you go.
So, not the way you can do things, not in this day and age.
Nope.
I don't think you ever could. And to me, it's the money. Because if these guys were making $600,000 or $700,000 a year, not $60 million a year, it would be next man up. Go out there and earn your money. But we're so protective of the contracts, especially with these guaranteed contracts. It's
sadly, you're right.
Sadly, I'm right. All right, we'll get Peter back in here. Coming up later in the hour, my day at Topgolf. We will talk about that. I promise you, I will tell you why Al is going to live to be 112 at least. And a whole
lot. By the time
you get to that,
he's going to be like 115.
Well, we're only here till 10. We gotta pace ourselves,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's what we try and do. It's Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
I've been trying to get to you.
Oh, my God. The Soul Survivors. Come on. Expressway to Your Heart. When I heard this song the first time, okay, it's like 1967, I want to say, in that range. I thought this was the Rascals because it sounds a lot like Felix Cavalieri singing. It really does. Right? You agree with that, Al?
Definitely.
Right? The Soul Survivors. No doubt about it.
Was that the...
It's the one hit, the only hit they
I
ever
was going to say, is this like the land of the one-hit wonder?
Yeah,
I know the song for
definite
sure.
Definitely one-hit wonder, yeah.
But I could be sitting here till next Friday, I would not have been able to give you the Soul Survivors.
Yes, that's
not a chance.
Exactly.
Not best one-hit wonder song it, was...
But before I get to that, I just want to say there's a great line by Steely Dan, right? In, what is it, Hey 19, where they say, hard times befallen the Soul Survivors. Donald Fagen says that in that song. Go ahead.
Best one-hit wonder song was what?
To me, it's a no-brainer. It's Incense and Peppermints by the Strawberry Alarm Clock.
Wow.
You know that song? You got to pop it up,
not
Eddie.
By title.
You got to pop it. To but me, I mean, it's the greatest one-hit wonder song of all time. Here it is.
Oh, okay, I do know that. I would not have thought the greatest of all time.
Well, I'm not. You asked me. It's a great song.
But do you think most people know this song?
Yeah. I think
more than you think.
Yeah, I think if, you know, you're my hero, you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good sense, any sense, crippling okay. Mankind.
Yep. This was in the Austin and Powers
ends,
movie.
Was it really?
I think so.
Na la 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 la.
Tremendous song.
All right. Well done. That was bad. Not you didn't even think about it.
No.
From the, I asked you and right there.
From the best of the Strawberry Alarm Clock, it's like this eight times.
That's their album.
Right.
Eight different versions of the same song.
Right.
That was pretty funny.
By the way, the follow up on your point last hour about him with a music podcast, your Odyssey's got all these music things going on.
Dude,
you can't find a podcast for Joe to do a music podcast.
I just said Joe and Al.
I probably could, but I mean, yeah. You know, I'll do it. Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Al's unbelievable. Al's probably got now. Because you got, I would assume, Al, that you have knowledge beyond me as far as like going into the 90s and even more now, right? Would you agree with that? Was that correct?
Yeah, I would say the 90s strong for sure,
right.
The 2000s, but then I started to fall off some of the newer stuff.
But
as
the
well.
80s, you're very good
all
too.
All 80s, I
yeah, no, 80s, I'm into the 80s, yeah. No doubt about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 80s would be their crossover.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why I said 60s, 70s. He's got the 90s covered, and then you got, they both know the 80s. I mean, it could be literally 40 years of music they could
that
cover.
That would be pretty good.
Even 50, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And he's also very big in the country music. So
you into country too?
I do like love
that's
country.
Cool. That's cool.
I'm just saying, could be a blooming relationship here. You never know.
You
never know. Speaking of great relationships, we have one, Peter. How are you?
I try to think we do have a little bit of something going here. Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Let's lead off with a quick trip to St. Louis for the Mets.
Pitch to McNeil. He swings and drills one down the right field line toward the wall. Gone! Right over the wall down the right field line. It's 335 to right. That one just sailed over the 8-foot high wall. McNeil's in double digits with his 10th homer, and the Mets have a 6-0 lead in the sixth.
That was the voice of Keith Rad on WCBS 880. Mets beat the Cardinals 6-0 in a makeup game that was played yesterday in St. Louis. Sean Manaea allowing 6 hits while striking out 10, did not walk a batter over 7 innings.
I was definitely more refined. I feel like I can throw for strikes now. Yeah, I mean, it's been really good the last couple of games, so just gaining more confidence as the season goes.
And there was some news before the game. Pete Alonso dropped down to number 5 in the Mets' batting order. Manager Carlos Mendoza said, though, this is far from a permanent move.
I don't know that this will go, you know, consistently. Maybe tomorrow we're facing a lefty and Pete's back in there in the four hole. So I think it's just more like who we're facing today.
Okay. Is this going to be an ongoing saga every day? Or
if they keep asking about it, sure.
Yeah.
And if he keeps hitting not as well as we expect him to, sure.
Maybe he drops
you know,
down a little more.
Maybe it becomes a saga as they drop him down to, you know, I mean, hell, they bat. What did they bat? What did Torrey bat A-Rod in the Tigers playoff game?
Eighth.
Yeah. I mean, if you end up in a situation, and he's not been that bad. I mean,
and Pete Alonso's not A-Rod either, by the way.
We're comparing Pete to
Right.
And I don't, it's not been a brutal season by any stretch. It just hasn't been an Alonso season.
Their best hitter right now is McNeil. Right now, yes. Since the All-Star break, McNeil has been their best hitter.
At stretches, Nimmo has been their best hitter.
Not since the All-Star break.
I said at stretches.
Yes.
Nimmo's been their best guy. Yep. Vientos at stretches has been their best guy.
Yep.
Lindor, to me now, has been their most consistent hitter since basically the start of mid-May.
If you ask me who the MVP of the team is, it's Lindor.
I have no doubt about it. Plays every day. Yep. Plays a sparkling shortstop.
He did make an error yesterday, but we'll let him slide.
Yeah,
didn't
hurt.
Didn't hurt.
But for the most part.
He got a little nonchalant with one, but that's okay.
It happens.
Yep.
I know you love Lindor now.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Well, you know what? Again, it goes to the fact that the guy plays every day.
Mm-hmm.
In this era where guys, I mean, you know, they got to take days off. I'm just, in every sport, basketball, they got to have maintenance days. I mean, all this nonsense. You know, basketball, they make, you know, the eighth guy on the team is making $80 million a year, and he's got to have maintenance days. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
And that's why I was telling Boomer last week. It drives me nuts because during the season, for the team, they're making millions upon millions. They need days off. And yet here they are playing all summer.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Right. So you either need the rest or you don't need the rest.
Every day.
It's incredible. Yep. John in St. Louis. What's up, John?
John,
how are you?
Hey, Joe, Jerry, what's going on? Joe, I got bone to pick with you. I don't know what the hell that was, but I think Brandy by Looking Glass is a lot better than whatever.
Okay, that's fine. Brandy by Looking Glass is a 70s. What is that, like 71 maybe, Brandy?
72, I want to
say. Okay, well.
You're going to know better than me on that one.
Yeah, no, Brandy, that's a good song. That's good. I'm not knocking it.
And I guess that was my question in terms of how you recognize a song.
Right.
That song to me, Brandy, I would think the masses would know more so than yours.
Okay.
That's all. Not
but that's
not
fine. And it's a good song. Right. I'm not knocking Brandy.
Did they have another hit? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't remember that. No.
But I'm with you. I like
Incense of Peppermint's a tremendous song. I mean, to me, what can I tell you?
No losers here. It's just opinion.
Yeah, it's all opinion. Yeah. I mean, look, your favorite song of all time might be Mary Had a Little Lamb. I mean, if that's what it is, it is. No, but I'm serious.
I'm glad you actually said that. Did you hear this story about changing the alphabet song?
Changing? What do you mean, the ABCD?
Correct.
Change
because
it to
apparently
what?
Kids are having trouble understanding the letters. I swear to God that kids were getting confused that Y, N, Z is an actual letter. I'm not making this up. Can somebody Google it and make me? I heard this on the news yesterday. I mean, we're losing our minds
here. Letter?
That it's a confusing song to children.
Oh, okay. XYZ. XYZ. Then you say no. YNZ?
When you sing the song, YNZ, you end it that way.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, YNZ.
So kids are getting confused with the end, and they don't understand their letters. Well, you see
it? New alphabet song has parents totally confused about their ABCs.
Mm.
First key...
It's sung much differently.
You know, the way things are going today, they might try to change the alphabet. We don't want to get into that.
It closes,
don't get me started on that stuff. But
it closes with the lines, now I know my ABCs next. LMNOP is a problem. The LMNOP is a problem.
This is what I'm saying.
What is going on
with people today?
Don't get me, you know.
The song's worth for a couple
Ryan Hurley will
years,
be walking in
fine.
Here. And Hurley and Aloe Vera will be coming in here and pulling me out if we get into this too deep.
We don't need to get into it too deep. I just thought that was kind of goofy when I read it. That's
they want people to sing it A, B, C, D, E, F, G, then pause.
Mm-hmm.
H, I, J, K, L, M, N. Mm. Pause.
How did I do it?
I know. I heard it. It sounds ridiculous.
How did I do it in grade school in like 1962? You know? I mean, I don't know how I did it.
I don't know.
With the nuns beating you up and all. I went to Catholic grade school, right, until seventh grade, I was back into regular public school. Through sixth grade, I went to Catholic grade school. You had the nuns, right? Mm-hmm. The nuns were teaching us.
Yeah, it was just performing.
They would do anything they wanted to do. They would walk into the men's bathroom, right? I swear to God. I mean, they would just come in there like arbitrarily. What's going on in here? I'll never forget this. This one girl, okay, and this is like maybe fifth grade. She comes in, right? She had, her hair was teased. She did something to her hair. You know what the nuns did to this girl? I mean, this would be assault now. They got this girl and they basically put her head under the faucet to get the teasing or whatever the hell out of it. I mean, this is what used to go on.
I know.
Can you imagine that?
Think about it. And I'm sure if you came home with a welt on your hand from the ruler, your parents weren't running to the school to find out what happened. They were asking you, what did you do wrong?
Right, right. They were blaming me.
I will tell you.
That's right.
In a very similar vein, just the way things have changed now since the time I was a kid, because that was a little before. I went to Catholic school, too, but that was all a little before me.
Yeah.
I never had that.
Well, I got 20 years on you.
But I will tell you, in terms of youth sports, when I was playing tackle football when I was 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, if you didn't play well, they made you run. They made you do bear crawls.
Right.
If you went home and told your parents that you were punished, had to do bear crawls and push-ups, like my dad would be like, play harder.
Yeah.
Now if you do that, the parents are running to ask the coach, why are you singling out my kid, making him, why are you punishing him?
No, you're right.
It's different.
Yeah.
It is very, very different. Yeah. Eli and Nyack, what's up, Eli?
Too soft.
Hey, Joe, big Jets fan here. How are you? I just wanted to comment. I wanted to comment on the guy who said Brandy was the best number one. You know, best
one hit wonder. One hit wonder.
Yeah, I gotta wonder about that. If you ever listen to the words of that song, I mean, basically this woman is like, you know,
this guy's more into going to the seed than he is the girl. That's what basically.
Right, exactly. I mean, you gotta wonder. I mean, about this guy. Wouldn't you like the touch of a warm woman instead of doing whatever out in a boat?
You know what? What do you want me to think? What can I tell you, bro? That is the truth. The song is about this girl who's, I guess, in love with this guy, but he was more interested in going out to sea than her. So.
This is my point about music. I've heard that song 1,000 times. If you would ask me what it's about, no idea until this very second.
Yeah.
Not even a clue. I'm sorry. One more, Peter, real quick.
That's okay.
Howard in Forest Hills. What's up, Howard?
Howard.
Yeah, hi. I got some music trivia. I grew up with this stuff.
Okay.
All right, I'll start with a question. How did Steely Dan get its name?
You know what? I'm a big fan of them. You know, Walter Becker, Donald Fagen. I think Becker is passed now, but I don't know the answer to that at all.
Okay, the answer to that's kind of kinky. it is.
Okay,
William Burroughs wrote a novel called Naked Lunch.
Okay.
And Steely Dan was a sex toy in the novel.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
So that's okay. But that's a whole new life.
I leave it to you. You know, what sex toy? That's what Steely Dan is, all right?
Wow.
This has just become Joe's favorite.
You look at
I like Steely Dan. I'm a big Steely Dan guy. Big time.
You learn something every day.
You really
even
do.
You.
Even I learned. And look, you know what? You're never old. You're never too old to learn something.
First
That's
podcast
for sure.
With Al and Joe B. Breaking down the Steely Dan vibrator.
The name is the sex toy.
Oh my gosh!
I would so love to interview a lot of these music people.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Like I would love to sit down with we're talking about Steely Dan and with Donald Fagen and talk to him. Is that really true, Donald? You know,
I'm sure there's a lot of rumors and myths, and you can get to the bottom of a lot of different things. Yep. Even watching Mick Jagger in an interview talking about being sober and how he's still, even at his age, he's been sober, I don't know how long, but long enough.
We'd have to be.
He still has the urges. And the only thing that keeps him from going back to the bottle is the fact that his kids will not speak to him.
Wow.
When and if he does it again. But those are really good stories, I think you get the bottom of. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to move ahead here.
Move ahead.
The beat, or should I say the beat down, continues for the White Sox.
Senzel swings and misses. And the A's send the White Sox to their 21st consecutive loss that ties the AL mark set by the 88 Orioles. 5-1 Oakland, the final.
By the way, it was very impressive.
That had to be the White Sox announcers, right?
It was the White Sox announcers. But the Orioles' 21-game losing streak, I think, as we brought up on the warm-up show, was more impressive because it was
start
the start of
the
season. Yes.
Yeah.
God, we talk about like the football season feeling like it's over in mid-October.
Yeah.
Could you imagine a baseball season that is 6 months long and you are 0-21 to start the year?
Oh my God.
Ugh. Awful. It's one thing to be bad. It's another thing to be just putrid
that. You know, I'm just looking at this list.
I remember that. 88, they started 0-21.
Yeah.
I do not remember that.
I don't remember the Expos starting losing 20 in a row in 69. I think that was their inaugural year, 69.
Okay.
And they lost 20 in a row that year. How about, you know, it's amazing, the Mets are nowhere near this, you know?
Right, they were just bad, but never had those extended 20-game losing streaks.
Right,
interesting.
Football, Giants and Lions with a joint practice yesterday. Some rough stuff taking place. Giants head of Greg Van Roten pinned to the ground by a Lions player. Quarterback Daniel Jones did not hesitate to jump in wearing the red jersey, did not stop him from protecting his teammate.
I don't think it should. I mean, he's my teammate, and just like he would stick up for me, I'm going to stick up for him.
And the Giants and Lions will play Thursday night at MetLife Stadium.
That's your weird question. And I'd be very clear about this. This was not his motivation. It's just a hypothetical question. If he jumps into the scrum, breaks his leg, does that injury guarantee kick in? And he's guaranteed his $40 million next year?
Wouldn't it have to?
I think it have to. It's within the context of practice.
Because it's outside of game action.
Yeah, but it's part of, you know, it's part of the
Yeah,
whole
I would think so,
deal,
too. I'm just, you know, curious. Again, not his motivation. I'm not saying that. But I'm just curious.
Just keep Aaron Rodgers. Keep Aaron Rodgers out of the melees.
Yep. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, let's go to Jets camp. Aaron Rodgers was a guest yesterday on SiriusXM NFL Radio at Jets camp. He talked about expectations.
It comes down to, do we want to set a little bar that we can step over, that we're so excited about what we did? Or do you want to put the bar at a level of excellence and try and reach that? Not a level of perfection, because that's not realistic. Nobody wants to do that. Then you're just constantly like beating yourself down because you didn't accomplish this, you know, idea of perfection.
But excellence.
Excellence.
Yeah.
Not perfection. Excellence. Only one team has ever been perfect. Yeah. So I'll take excellence over
perfection. Excellence would be outstanding.
Yes.
You know, 13-4 in a Super Bowl appearance.
I gotta be honest, Joe. That's what I expect.
Well, bro, I hope you're right. I mean, please, I'd be 13-4. I don't know if I'd be alive to see that. I don't know if I could handle that.
I want the hat and the T-shirt that says AFC East champions. And I'll be online with Joe next morning to get those shirts.
There's not a lot of those around, bro.
No, not at all. But I wanted to squeeze this in last hour. I didn't get to it really quick. Last night, Nassau County legislators approved a 42-year lease to Las Vegas Sands to operate the Nassau Coliseum, and the company is trying to develop the 72-acre property, hopes to build a casino resort on the site. Sands will bid for one of the three state gaming licenses to be awarded late next year. So we'll see. Maybe finally something will happen with that Nassau Coliseum property.
All right, so you got that. I know they're trying to get
it's still
over
up, though. Coliseum's still there.
Yeah, there's still a handful of events that take place there. But if this casino goes through...
Shouldn't the Islanders play like a couple games there a year?
Not when they're got 18,000 people going to UBS Arena.
Right.
No.
What's your thoughts on that? I haven't been there. What do you think?
Oh,
you
like it?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Listen,
Is it as crazy as the old place, though?
It got into the playoffs, not this past year, but last year against Carolina. The playoff games were pretty loud. And they did that by design. The way that they built the roof is low enough that it has a little bit of a Coliseum feel. I don't think anything will ever duplicate that from the Dynasty
years. That was a great place.
But UBS
great place
Arena,
to watch a game,
UBS but. Arena is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. All right, Pete, good job. We will see you next hour. Take a quick break. We got more to come. 888-808-1019. Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Love grows where my
rosemary goes.
How about that? I know this song.
It's a good song. Now I'm digging for the group here. I got to tell
you, Edison Lighthouse.
That's right. Thank you.
You know why I know
Thank you.
We talked about this yesterday.
Did you?
WJDM.
Oh, JDM. Oh,
when there were several shifts
they did music
I did.
There too?
They did.
I didn't know that.
They flipped formats to where they were selling to Spanish broadcasting, and they did music on the weekends and at nights. And they allowed me to do shows at night when I wasn't working with you. And there was the first request I ever got.
Was this song?
Was from a woman in Elizabeth that requested Edison Lighthouse. That's how I know the song. It's the only reason why I think about it and I remember who they are. Yeah. So
good job by you with the group.
I was struggling with a few more that came up. But real quick, Al, if you can come in here real fast. So yesterday I went to Topgolf and I've got some gifts to hand out for you too, Eddie. But he'll bring them in for you.
Sure
so
thing.
For Joe
Boomer Jr.
Well, yeah, so be it. Joe, that's for you.
Oh, wow.
All right, Al,
oh, I
this
love,
is for you.
Oh, my God. Bro, Black Clover. I love Black Clover.
I figured you would like that.
Oh, my God. You know how many hats I have, bro?
This is from my guy Big Joe over there. The guy runs the place. Here you go, Al. You got a medium shirt, the one I'm wearing. A double X for Edward. Okay, that's cool.
Wow.
And then, because Joe's a listener and he knows that you guys like coffee, check out this travel cup for you guys.
Oh, wow.
So you can hand that over to Al, please.
Here you go.
And then this is for Eddie as well. He also gets one.
There you go.
And then lastly, before I just want to talk to you about this quick, from your guy Mike in Parsippany, that's for you, ball markers, Joe. Oh, and you can hand these over to Al, Al and Eddie. Oh, wow. They've got their own ball markers.
Wait, who are these ball markers from?
Mike in Parsippany, a listener that stopped by.
Very interesting ball markers, bro.
Yes. And I will tell you, real quick, just on that, just briefly, and then I want to get back to this music thing. I was over there yesterday because they got this new golf club called The Sure Thing.
Wow.
Joe, I am telling you, you want to go out there and have a blast. This thing hits straight shots. You're launching balls all over the place.
Really?
It is so much fun.
By the way, I love this hat, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a great hat for you. I figured it was right up Al's alley because I could see the way it fits on the head. Beautiful hat.
And like I said, very interesting ball markers here. I will tell you that.
Well, I mean, I could see some nipples.
Al, you just noticed the ball markers now? Is that what happened?
That is very true. But anyway, I went over to demo the club yesterday. I brought my kids and my wife.
Let's go back to this club. It's a certain club you're talking about?
It's not a conforming club. It's made by Callaway for Topgolf.
Okay, so it's not PGA.
Correct.
You can't use it on a tour.
But here's what I will tell you. No, you can't. But here's what I will tell you. Number one, you hit just beautiful shots.
Right.
They also...
what is it, like a hybrid? What is it?
No, it's a 20-degree driver. So it's got a big loft, but you still launch the ball. It's really, it's a lot of fun.
Right.
And by the way, they didn't even need this. That's how much I love the place, and you've never been there. You would love it.
I
got to check.
Well, like I said,
Al and Eddie and I went in Atlanta. We went in Vegas last year.
Yes, we did, yeah.
We have a blast when we go there. This one's in Edison that I went to. Point is, so this club, I was worried about, you know, if you can just hack away and hit these straight shots, what happens? And he's like, well, try the Callaway Maverick, which is a conformed great club.
Right.
I got to tell you, it's almost like it trains you. I was hitting bombs with the Maverick.
Really?
I didn't go out and buy that thing. But yeah, it was a good time
yesterday.
Their latest
driver, right? The Maverick?
Actually, no. The Paradigm is the new set.
The
Callaway Smoke. They
got
those clubs.
Right,
but I
still got the Big Bertha.
So do I.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I have too, actually.
It's great. Actually, from Boomer, I got to say, we still, you know, when I retired from full time, you know, Boomer sent myself and Terry entire golf sets.
Wow.
And bags.
How about that?
So I still, you know, I've had him now for, you know, 5 years, 4 years, whatever it is. I love him, man.
Very nice.
That Callaway Big Bertha, I love that driver.
Very nice.
I got to tell you. Thank you again.
Anyhow, a big thank you to Topgolf and Edison. Had a blast.
Great.
Big Joe showed me around.
Thank you,
had
big
a lot
Joe.
Of fun yesterday.
Love
yes,
that hat. I got about five or six of those black clover hats.
Yeah, very
different
nice.
Different colors.
Very
I don't
nice.
See anybody on a tour wearing them, though. I'm surprised, but I really like them.
Very comforting.
Yeah.
Or comfortable.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple more. That
songs,
I saw on social
into the
media.
Music.
Yes, just quickly because I calls in a minute. I promise. This one, when I saw this on Twitter, this one stuck out very quickly. Stuck in the Middle by Steeler's Wheel.
It's a good song, Jerry Rafferty.
Just a good song,
right? It's good. I mean, I don't love it. I mean, Jerry Rafferty is the lead singer. He also does Baker Street. I'm sure you're familiar with that song.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
I don't think a great song, but very recognizable.
Yeah.
I got a couple of people hit me up on this one. Afternoon Delight.
Yeah,
that's a fun song.
It's fun, and you know, it's not something that, you know, I'm adverse to, but the Starland Vocal Band.
What does it mean, Joe?
Exactly.
Starland Vocal Band.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not crazy about it, but the idea of it is very good.
Bob Gelb chimed in with Mongo Jerry.
The Summertime. That's a real good song. Yeah.
Okay.
In the summertime, when the weather is fine. Yeah.
I also got hit up with, which I had to look up, and as soon as I heard it, I knew it. But by name, I didn't. Ides of March, Vehicle.
Tremendous. And let me just say, go ahead. What are you going
to
say?
Well, to me, I feel like I know that more by a commercial on TV more so than the song. Is that right?
I think I would agree with that. There has been a commercial on TV. But when I first heard that, I thought it was Chicago. I got to tell you. The first time I heard, you know, the Vehicle
by Ides.
Are
there horns in the song?
What's that?
Are there horns in the song?
No, just the singer. I believe back in those days, Chicago's had two guys that basically have done this thing, maybe three, but, you know, Peter Cetera and the late Terry Catt, who actually killed himself. I think he blew his brains out. And when I heard when I first heard that song by the Ides of March, it sounded just like Terry Catt. So I thought that was kind of like, but there is a lot of horns in it, too.
You're right. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, that's the classic Chicago. I know Peter Cetera was a much different Chicago.
Right.
Right. But those original Chicago right. albums, where that's the sound of Chicago.
Yes, and that's Terry Kath is the lead singer on most of that early stuff. You know?
Okay. And they still tour. So who's the yeah. singer now?
I think Cetera. Isn't he still there? Robert Lamb and Peter Cetera.
Peter
Cetera's aren't they still
not
in?
With them anymore.
No? Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure. I thought he left years ago.
I don't know about that. Because really? all the later stuff by Chicago is him singing, pretty much.
Yes,
you know?
But I thought they went away from him to get back to the horn sound and get back to their roots. I don't know. I
haven't heard them, you know, in right now, so I don't know. But I thought Cetera was still the singer.
All right, I'll give you one more.
Yes.
Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum.
Oh, that's a great song. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
pretty good.
When I die and they lay me to rest.
That could be.
Want to go to the place that's the best.
I yes. do think if you ask
that
15 people, you might get 15 yeah. different answers.
Oh, yeah,
to
yeah.
question.
That is a great song, though. Yes.
Not bad. But you're still going with your other one.
Oh, I love that song. Incense and Peppermint, right. man. I'm pumped. My wife loves it, too. I mean, if she's listening now, she probably, if she was listening when you asked me that,
yeah.
I bet she said that's what he's going to say.
Same thing.
Yeah.
She yep. wouldn't say the same thing, just that you would say that.
Yes. Well, she likes it, too. She really likes
what
that song.
What would you two go with? He's on the phone.
Well, Ichiku Park by the Small Faces.
Yeah, that's a good song.
The what?
But Ichiku Park by the Small Faces.
They may have had another moderate hit, though.
They had nothing to do with Faces, though. The Rod Stewart and Ron Woods and all that Faces.
I think they, Stewart joined them, and they became the Faces. They were the Small Faces first.
I see.
I think there was a lot of the same band members.
Okay.
That's another one by name. I don't know what the hell you just said. Ichiku Park?
Yeah, Ichiku Park.
Ichiku Park?
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
And I'll know this.
What will you do there? I got high. You want it, right?
Okay. I mean, that's new. I don't know that one. And
you can play that later.
You were fine with Elvis before. That didn't do this justice.
What's that? No. I don't know. I can't sing that. I mean, I don't know all the words like I would with a lot of stuff. You know what I mean?
That song.
There's a lot of songs I can sing. I know the words, the entire song. I don't know the words to that
one
entirely.
Ain't
I do know the song, but not entirely.
I will take a listen during the break because I do not know, that is for sure. Let me grab one quick one before we take a break because it's topical. John and Bayonne, what's up, John?
Hey, guys, I tell you right now, that's a fun place to go. I'm a member there, you know. And yeah, it's good time. But I've been trying to talk to you for a while, Jerry, that time that you... hit the ball off the tree, right?
That's when you hurt yourself, right?
I did the same thing in the Bahamas, you know? And I hit it off the tree. There was a foursome on the left side. But what I did was I lifted up my hand and I caught it. The guys looked at me and said, I've been practicing that shot for a long time, you know?
You caught the ricochet off the tree? That's pretty impressive.
Well, hold on. How close to the tree were you?
Yeah, you couldn't have been
I'm
that
telling
close.
You right now, there was no one catching the ball off the tree.
You couldn't have been that close to the tree.
I would say about, you know, maybe 10 yards.
Wow. All right,
so about 30 feet. That's pretty impressive. If you were able to catch it, that's impressive. I would say I was maybe...
That is impressive.
15 feet from the tree, I was not far from it. And I just flat out missed the shot.
That's unbelievable.
And thought I was dying that day.
Yeah.
Wow. That is 100% true. Yes.
Wow.
So that was a rough afternoon. Didn't get to finish the round.
Yeah, no. That's the worst part. I can't play no more.
You know what? You're not wrong.
I know.
All right, more of your calls. We're getting into more football also coming up. And promise, later in this hour, the thing about Al and his lifespan. That's going to be
how
in the
old
8
is
o'clock
he now?
Hour.
120 now?
No. I just said I'm going to guarantee 112.
All right.
With proof. And I will back it up coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Is this Love Grows Where My
Rosemary Goes?
How about that? I know this song.
It's a good song. Now I'm digging for the group here. I got to tell
you. Edison Lighthouse.
That's right. Thank you.
You know why I know
Thank you.
We talked about this yesterday.
Did you?
WJDM.
Oh, JDM.
There were several shifts
they did music
I did.
There too?
They did.
I didn't know that.
They flipped formats to where they were selling to Spanish broadcasting, and they did music on the weekends and at nights. And they allowed me to do shows at night when I wasn't working with you. And there was the first request I ever got.
Was this song?
Was from a woman in Elizabeth that requested Edison Lighthouse. That's how I know the song. It's the only reason why I think about it and I remember who they are. Yeah. So
good job by you with the group.
I was struggling for that. With a few more actually that came up, but real quick, Al, if you can come in here real fast. So yesterday I went to Topgolf and I've got some gifts to hand out for you too, Eddie, but he'll bring them in for you.
Sure thing.
For Joe
Boomer Jr.
Well, yeah, so be it. Joe, that's for you.
Oh, wow. All right, Al, this is for you. Oh, my God. Bro, Black Clover. I love Black Clover.
I figured you would like that.
Oh, my God. You know how many hats I have, bro?
This is from my guy, Big Joe, over there. The guy runs the place. Here you go, Al. You got a medium shirt, the one I'm wearing. A double X for Edward. Okay, that's cool.
Wow.
And then, because Joe's a listener and he knows that you guys like coffee, check out this travel cup for you guys.
Oh, wow.
So you can hand that over to Al, please.
Here you go.
And then this is for Eddie as well. He also gets one.
There you go.
And then lastly, before I was going to talk to you about this real quick, from your guy Mike in Parsippany, that's for you, ball markers, Joe. And if you can hand these over to Al, Al and Eddie, they've got their own ball markers.
Wait, who are these ball markers from?
Mike in Parsippany, a listener that stopped by.
Very interesting ball markers, bro.
Yes. And I will tell you, so real quick, just on that, just briefly, and then I want to get back to this music thing. I was over there yesterday because they got this new golf club called The Sure Thing.
Wow.
Joe, I am telling you, you want to go out there and have a blast. This thing hits straight shots. You're launching balls all over the place.
Really?
It is so much fun.
By the way, I love this hat, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a great hat for you. I figured it was right up Al's alley because I could see the way it fits on the head. Beautiful hat.
And like I said, very interesting ball markers here. I will tell you that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could see some nipples.
Al, you just noticed the ball markers now? Is that what happened?
That is very true. But anyway, I went over to demo the club yesterday. I brought my kids and my wife.
Now let's go back to this club. It's a certain club you're talking about?
It's not a conforming club. It's made by Callaway for Topgolf.
So it's not PGA.
Correct.
You can't use it on a tour.
But here's what I will tell you. No, you can't. But here's what I will tell you. Number one, you hit just beautiful shots.
Right.
They also...
What is it, like a hybrid? What is it?
No, it's a 20-degree driver. So it's got a big loft, but you still launch the ball. It's a lot of fun.
Right.
And by the way, they didn't even need this. That's how much I love the place, and you've never been there. You would love it too.
Well, like I said, I'll go there when you can't.
Al and Eddie and I went in Atlanta. We went in Vegas last year.
Yes, we did, yeah.
We have a blast when we go there. This one's in Edison that I went to. Point is, so this club, I was worried about, you know, if you can just hack away and hit these straight shots, what happens? And he's like, well, try the Callaway Maverick, which is a conformed great club.
Right.
I got to tell you, it's almost like it trains you. I was hitting bombs with the Maverick.
Really?
I didn't go out and buy that thing. But yeah, it was a good time
yesterday.
That's their latest driver,
right? The Maverick?
Actually, no. The Paradigm is the new set.
The Callaway Smoke.
They got those clubs.
Right.
But I
still got the Big Bertha.
So do I.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I have too, actually.
It's great. Actually, from Boomer, I got to say, we still, you know, when I retired from full time, you know, Boomer sent myself and Terry entire golf sets.
Wow.
And bags.
How about that?
So I still, you know, I've had them now for, you know, 5 years, 4 years, whatever it is. I love them, man.
Very nice.
That Callaway Big Bertha, I love that driver.
Very nice.
I got to tell you. Thank you again,
Boomer. A big thank you to Topgolf and Edison. Had a blast.
Great.
Big Joe showed me around.
Thank you, Big Joe. Had a lot of fun yesterday.
Love that hat.
I got about five or six of those Black Clover hats.
Yeah, very
different
nice.
Different colors.
I don't see
anybody on a tour wearing them, though. I'm surprised, but I really like them.
Very comforting.
Yeah.
Or comfortable.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple more.
I saw on social media.
Yes, just quickly because I promise. This one, when I saw this on Twitter, this one stuck out very quickly. Stuck in the Middle by Steeler's Wheel.
It's a good song. Jerry Rafferty.
Just a good song?
Right. It's good. I mean, I don't love it. I mean, Jerry Rafferty is the lead singer. He also does Baker Street. I'm sure you're familiar with that song.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good.
I don't think a great song, but very recognizable.
Yeah.
I got a couple of people hit me up on this one. Afternoon Delight.
Yeah,
that's a fun song. That's a fun song.
It's fun, and you know, it's not something that you know I'm adverse to. But what is it, the Starland Vocal Band?
What does it mean, Joe?
Yeah, exactly.
Starland Vocal Band.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not crazy about it, but the idea of it is very good.
Bob Gelb chimed in with Mongo Jerry.
The Summertime. That's a real good song. Yeah.
Okay.
In the summertime when the weather is fine. Yeah.
I also got hit up with, which I had to look up, and as soon as I heard it, I knew it. But by name, I didn't. Ides of March vehicle.
Vehicle? Tremendous. And let me just say, go ahead. What are you going
to
say?
Well, to me, I feel like I know that more by like a commercial on TV more so than the song. Is that right?
I think I would agree with that. There has been a commercial on TV. But when I first heard that, I thought it was Chicago. I got to tell you. The first time I heard... you know, the vehicle.
Why, are there
by
horns in the song?
What's that?
Are there horns in the song?
No, just the singer. I believe the back in those days, Chicago's had two guys that basically have done the same, maybe three, but, you know, Peter Cetera and the late Terry Catt, who actually killed himself. I think he blew his brains out. And when I heard the, when I first heard that song by the Ides of March, it sounded just like Terry Catt. So I thought that was kind of like, but there is a lot of horns in it, too. You're right.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, that's the classic Chicago. I know Peter Cetera was a much different Chicago.
Right.
But those original Chicago albums, where that's the sound of Chicago.
Yes. And that's Terry Catt is the lead singer on most of that early stuff. You know?
Okay. And they still tour. So who's the singer now?
I think Cetera. Isn't he still there? Robert Lamb and Peter Cetera.
Peter
Cetera's aren't they still
not with them anymore.
No? Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure. I thought he left years ago.
I don't know about that. Because all the later stuff by Chicago is him singing, pretty much.
Yes,
you know?
But I thought they went away from him to get back to the horn sound and get back to their roots. I don't know. I
haven't heard them, you know, in right now, so I don't know. But I thought Cetera was still the singer.
All right, I'll give you one more.
Yes.
Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum.
Oh, that's a great song. Yeah.
Pretty good.
When I die and they lay me to rest.
That could be.
Wanna go to the place that's the best.
I do think if you ask 15 people, you might get 15 different answers.
Oh, yeah.
Question.
That is a great song, though. Yes.
Not bad. But you're still going with your other one.
Oh, I love that song. Incense and Peppermint, man. I'm pumped. My wife loves it, too. I mean, if she's listening now, she probably, if she was listening when you asked me that, I bet she said that's what he's going to say.
Same thing.
Yeah.
She wouldn't say the same thing, just that you would say that.
Yes. Well, she likes it, too. She really likes
what
that song.
What would you two go with? He's on the phone.
Well, Ichiku Park by the Small Faces.
That's a good song.
The what?
But Ichiku Park by the Small Faces.
They may have had another moderate hit, though.
They had nothing to do with Faces, though. The Rod Stewart and Ron Woods and all that Faces.
I think they, Seward joined them, and they became the Faces. They were the Small Faces first.
I see.
I think there was a lot of the same band members.
Okay.
That's another one by name. I don't know what the hell you just said. Ichiku Park?
Yeah, Ichiku Park.
Ichiku Park?
Yeah.
And I'll know this.
What will you do there? I got high. You want it, right?
Okay. I mean, that's new. I don't know that one. And
you can play that later.
You were fine with Elvis before. That didn't do this justice.
What's that? No. I don't know. I can't sing that. I mean, I don't know all the words like I would with a lot of stuff. You know what I mean?
That song.
There's a lot of songs I can sing. I know the words, the entire song. I don't know the words to that
one
entirely.
I do know
the song, but not entirely.
I will take a listen during the break because I do not know, that is for sure. Let me grab one quick one before we take a break because it's topical. John in Bayonne. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. I tell you right now, that's a fun place to go. I'm a member there, you know.
And yes.
Yeah, that's good time. But I've been trying to talk to you for a while, Jerry. That time that you... hit the ball off the tree, right?
Right, when you hurt yourself, right?
I did the same thing in the Bahamas, you know? And I hit it off the tree, and there was a foursome on the left side. But what I did was I lifted up my hand and I caught it. The guys looked at me and said, I've been practicing that shot for a long time, you know?
You caught the ricochet off the tree? That's pretty impressive.
Well, hold on. How close to the tree were you?
Yeah, you couldn't have been
that
close.
I'm telling you right now, there was no one catching the ball off the tree.
You couldn't have been that close to the tree.
I would say about, you know, maybe 10 yards.
Wow. All right,
so about 30 feet. That's pretty impressive. If you were able to catch it, that's impressive. I would say I was maybe...
That is impressive.
15 feet from the tree, I was not far from it. And I just flat out missed the shot.
That's unbelievable.
And thought I was dying that day.
Yeah. Wow.
That is 100% true. Yes.
Wow.
So that was a rough afternoon. Didn't get to finish the round.
Yeah, no. That's the worst part. I can't play no more.
You know what? You're not wrong.
I know.
All right, more of your calls. We're getting into more football also coming up. And promise, later in this hour, the thing about Al and his lifespan. That's going to be
in the 8
o'clock
hour. How old is he now? 120 now?
No. I just said I'm going to guarantee 112.
All right.
With proof. And I will back it up coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.